Thus, we turn our hearts to you.
Amen.
We do need you, so we open to you.
Amen.
Lord, do speak to us.
Amen.
Do speak to us about your beloved.
Amen.
Do speak to us about what is in your heart.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, that we might see the church as you see it.
Amen.
That we might see the church as we see it in the Word. Speak to us this morning.
Amen.
Anoint your word and anoint our ears.
Amen.
Bind the enemy and everything he would do.
Amen.
That we can enjoy your speaking.
Amen.
We pray in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This week we are on Bethel. The dream of Bethel. Actually, for Jacob, it was a dream. He never experienced what we experience. He never enjoyed the house of God, the church, the body of Christ.
Amen.
But we do. I'm just concerned that maybe even for some of us, the church is a teaching, is a doctrine, is something sort of objective. But that we could see this morning that the church is the place where we enjoy the Lord, where the Lord speaks to us, and where we can admire him in all his beauty at the Lord's table. That we can enjoy the church. So this is my burden. So we will be in Genesis in the beginning, and then we will move over into the New Testament. So we need to see that in those days, the Lord appeared to Jacob from time to time. Today, the Lord appears to us whenever we give him a chance.
Amen.
Whenever we give him some time. So we need to see the Holy of Holies today is in heaven where the Lord Jesus is, right? But the Lord Jesus is also in our spirit. So the reality of the ladder that Jacob saw is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And this is what he said in John 1:51, that the angels will be ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is something tremendous. We are connected, not to TV, not to internet, but to heaven. That's a pretty big word. Our spirit, in our spirit, is the Lord Jesus as a life-giving spirit. And he connects us to heaven. Haven't you had the experience sometimes things go wrong? You have some problems? But you call on the Lord, and the heavens open. It is just that simple, that we can experience more our precious Lord. Jacob's dream is a crucial point, not only in Genesis 28, but in the whole book of Genesis. Such a dream that he had. Of course, Jacob could not understand what it all meant. But surely, Jacob was anointed by the Lord because he spoke that this is the house of God. And actually, in verse 11 it says he came to a certain place, spent the night there. It was just a place. No special place. He was running away from his brother. So he had no place to go. He was homeless. So he had this dream. What is a dream? The dream is that God wants to have a house on earth. People want to go to heaven. God wants to come down to earth and to enjoy us, and we enjoy him in his house. And it is quite unusual. What was Jacob's reaction when he woke up? In verse 16, Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely Jehovah's in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." But then he rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And then, of course, he bargained with God. He told God, if you do this, that, and the other, in other words, if you provide for my sustenance and you keep me and I come back in peace to the Father's house, then, listen to this, verse 22, "This stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house." Surely, Jacob was anointed of the Lord, but surely he did not understand what it was all about. But we do. We thank the Lord that not only we know the church is the house of God, but we experience the church as the house of God.
Amen.
But actually, it was quite interesting what he did with the stone. He laid down on this stone, but then in verse 18, he took the stone, he set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. Of course, we know what the stone stands for, right? When the Lord met Peter, he changed his name to Cephas, or Peter, which means a stone. And we will see later in 1 Peter that in the church we are living stones. We're living stones by coming to the one who is the living stone. So this is the meaning of what Jacob did. But then, not only he poured oil on that stone, but he set it, he turned it around, turned it up as a pillar. And we find out in Revelation 3:12 that the overcomers in the church in Philadelphia, they will be a pillar in the house of God, and they will go out no more. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is the picture that we have here. So we have the stone and we have the pillar. And we see here in verse 18, he set up the stone as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He was running away from home. From where did he get oil? Nobody knows. Surely this was really something that the Lord made so clear. None of us would have done something like that. What does the oil mean? Of course, we know. In the Bible, the oil means the Spirit.
Amen.
So, we have the stone that represents a regenerated, transformed man, because we're dust. We have the pillar, which is someone who has overcome and is a pillar in the house of God. Actually, in the book of Acts, it tells us that there were three apostles, that they were the pillars in the church in Jerusalem. So we need to experience Christ to be a pillar. In this world, everything is against God. Everything is against the church. It's so easy to get distracted. Only by God's mercy, we can be those who become pillars in the house of God, and who will go out no more, but rather to become building material in the house. Matthew 16:18, the Lord gave the most wonderful promise. Upon this rock I will build my church. So the Lord is building his church. How is he building his church? Is he building his church from heaven? No. The church is not in heaven, physically. He is building the church through us.
Amen.
As long as we are buildable material, that we would be not only stones, but pillars in the house of God. Now, a house is a place of rest. Whenever I go out, I love to travel, I love to visit places, but I'm so glad when I get back home. That's the place of my rest. The church, the home of God, is his rest and enjoyment. That's why we see the picture that the stone that Jacob used to lay his head, in other words, to rest, becomes the pillar in the house of God. That we also may find rest in the church. This is really so precious. Eventually, of course, in the new heaven and the new earth, we will have the new Jerusalem, which will be the eternal tabernacle between God and man. But how precious that today we can enjoy the church. And very interesting, Jacob not only called the place Bethel, not only said that the pillar would be the house of God if God kept him, but in verse 17 at the end, he says, "This is the gate of heaven." Well, is the church the gate of heaven? Look at all of us here. Do you think this is the gate of heaven? It is. If we are in our spirit, enjoying the Lord, I don't know about you, but many times the Lord has spoken to me in the meetings. Many times the Lord has cleared up problems in the meeting, especially in the Lord's table. The Lord has a way to speak to us because he is the living God.
Amen.
He is not an idol that's mute. He is the living God, 1 Timothy 3:15. So he speaks to us all the time, that we would have ears to listen to him, to listen to his speaking. As we're in spirit, as we enjoy him, we're where? We're in the throne of grace. Yes, so where is the throne of grace? In heaven. So we can experience today the reality that he is the ladder. Amen. He is the way, as he tells us in John 14:6, he is the way for us to get to the Father. Praise the Lord. Amen. Today we can come to heaven as we are on earth, enjoying Christ in the church. So the Lord, of course, wants to recover the earth. Some have the wrong concept that God wants us to go to heaven. But no, God wants to recover the earth. Eventually, in the millennial kingdom, God will be king over all the earth. But in the meantime, he needs to be king in the church and in our hearts. This is the way the Lord can work towards his purpose, that he can accomplish what he desires. So we thank the Lord that we can contact the Lord in his throne. Right? We see this in Hebrews 4:16. How we're encouraged to come to the throne, to contact the Lord. And we can really enjoy him. In Genesis 1 and 2, we see that although God was made in the image of God, in Genesis 1:26, in his image, in his likeness, but actually Adam is no expression of God. We in our natural man are not an expression of God. We need to have a change in our nature from being Adam, from being a natural man, to being a stone for the building. But the problem is that this transformation is not instantaneous. It is marvelous that when someone preaches the gospel to us, we're saved instantaneously. It is just as marvelous that when the Lord Jesus comes back, our body will be transformed instantaneously. But in the meantime, we go through a process. A picture of this is a tree that becomes, through the years, a stone. Petrified wood. In that we can see how maybe a river brought certain materials to the tree. And you look at the tree, it's a tree. But you touch the tree and it's a stone. So this is a metabolic change where God is added to us and our natural man is removed. This is the process that goes on. And because this is a living process, it takes all our lifetime to fulfill. So in Genesis 2, we have a man of clay. In Genesis 28, we see a man of clay resting on a stone, which shows he would become a stone. And then in verse 18, the stone becomes a pillar. Praise the Lord. So, this is the dream of Bethel. Now we come to the New Testament. We start with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4. Well, first of all, verse 4. Coming to him, that's coming to the Lord, a living stone rejected by men, but with God chosen and precious. The Lord Jesus is a living stone. Is he chosen and precious to us? Surely the Lord Jesus is chosen and precious to the Father, right? On special occasions, like when the Lord Jesus was baptized and when the Lord Jesus was transfigured, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. This is the one in whom he has pleasure." When we come to the Lord at morning watch, do we have pleasure? Or are we doing things mechanically because, well, we're supposed to do it? And if we do a verse, well, we did not too bad. And if we do a little better, maybe we sing a hymn. But our Lord is real. Our Lord is living. So we need to come to him. And the verse says that when we come to him, he is a living stone. This living stone, what does it do? It makes us also living stones. But actually, the portion really starts from verse 2, although we don't have it here. As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation. By enjoying the milk of the word, we can be transformed into a living stone. So our nature, which is dust, becomes stone for the building. We need to grow that we can experience the Lord to such an extent that we can be buildable material and we can fulfill in us, through us, the promise the Lord made that he will build his church. So we thank the Lord that he has provided both ways for us to become stone. One, through his living word, and two, through his living spirit. So we have the means, we have the way, we have whatever is needed for us to be transformed. So surely the Lord is chosen and precious. So in verse 5, you yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. We don't have time to get into the rest of this verse, but that we are being built a spiritual house. This is precious. We are living stones for the building. And we become stones through the process of transformation, as we mentioned. As living stones, we are being built up a spiritual house. So that is concerning the stone. now we come to the pillar, the stone Jacob made into a pillar. And in Revelation 3:12, it says, "He who overcomes, him I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall by no means go out anymore." You know, yesterday among the Spanish-speaking saints, we had a love feast. And the burden of the love feast, or the burden of the brothers, was to invite those who are or who have not been meeting with us. Surely, those were not pillars. What can make us a pillar? First of all, we have to be transformed into a stone, but then to be a pillar, and he shall by no means go out any more. This is my burden, that we would see how precious the church is. You know, if we appreciate the church, if we see the church as God sees it, then what happens? We will go out no more. So I have picked up three portions concerning the church, or you might say concerning the church life, the practical church. First of all, we come to Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, when a brother preached the gospel to me, he told me that the Lord Jesus loved me. And the Lord Jesus went to the cross for me. And he died for me. But here it says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. So here we see a different aspect. From the human aspect, Christ died for us. We have been redeemed. And not only we have been redeemed, we receive his life. But from God's point of view, we were redeemed, we were regenerated to be a part of the house of God. That's the purpose of God. So the point is, if we are not in the church, we're not fulfilling God's purpose for us, that we would be in the church. And the Lord Jesus loves the church. Actually, later on, I'll just mention it, we don't have much time. It says that Christ nourishes and cherishes the church, because we're members of his body. So, we need to appreciate the church because the Lord Jesus appreciated the church. He died for it. And of course, we see this so clearly in Hebrews 12:2. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he wasn't considering how much he would suffer. He wasn't considering how terrible it was, because he had the thought, one day he will have a bride. And it's all worth it for the bride. Now we come to Ephesians 2:19. Ephesians 2:19 is a very precious verse. It says, so then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Members of the household of God. Here we find not only we are in the house of God, but we find here that in the house of God is the family of God. You know, brothers and sisters, when we say brother, we say sister, it's not just a term. It's not mere terminology. It's a reality. We were all born of the same Father. How precious this is. So we need to realize we are in God's family. We all have a family. And surely we should love the members of our family. But sometimes the family of God is sweeter than our own family. How precious that we are God's folks. How wonderful it is. And you know, perhaps you don't think much of it, but suppose you're walking in Manhattan and suddenly you meet a brother or a sister. Isn't that precious? Yes, because we are the folks. And finally, we come to Romans 12, 4 and 5. For just as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So here we find that in the church we are members. We're members of the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. But first of all, it tells us in verse 4, we do not have the same function. I do not have the same function as Timothy. For sure, I can speak Chinese. Meya Wenti. So he has a function I don't have. But for sure, he cannot speak Spanish. No hay problema. So we're all different. And we, you know, when we come to the church for the first time and we meet immigrants, where are you from? From this place, that place. Eventually, as we enjoy the Lord in the church life, there's no place. We're all God's folks. Praise the Lord. And then, verse 5 says, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. I don't know if you appreciate this, but probably if everything goes fine, you don't think much that you're a member in the body. But when things go wrong, then you appreciate the body. You look for someone that you can pray with. It's much better to pray two by two or three than pray by one. Someone, you know, a sister said yesterday, she went through a very difficult situation. She had cancer, and of course at the beginning she didn't know what would happen. And one sister came to her, and the sister said, it's okay, if you cry, I'll cry with you. That is a member of the body of Christ. I also appreciate so much in my sickness the saints praying for me. Surely This is precious. We're members one of another. Praise the Lord. So we'll stop here, and then we'll have some prayers, and then it will be your time to enjoy and share what you have enjoyed. Doesn't have to be what I shared, but whatever is in your heart that you could share with us. And those going to the language meetings will do so now. Let's pray.